and can pledge to stand before you to testify the things that I have learned from the Democratic School. As a moderator, this program, we just recently returned from a trip visiting some of the schools throughout America and Canada. All of the brothers and sisters, they do send their love. I was thinking about this evening, while I was sick, I had the opportunity to go up to my hometown to get and talk with some of my relatives. And since that time, my sister, whom you all know, she's got Dr. Mitchell has been up there and been home in class. They've been home in class here in Akron, Ohio. Last weekend, they had 15 on us. Saturday, they had 12 Sunday. However, my sister called Friday and she was trying to do. Seeing that the fact that she couldn't get the people to see or to understand what this gospel is all about. But we understand that everyone is not going to accept this truth. They're just not going to accept it. They like to feel like what they have, they think that it might be the truth. But they've been in it so long, they just people just refuse to change. And what it is just that satanic spirit that is within those people that won't allow them to change.
Yeah.
It's not that what we have is not the truth. Because with all the proof that we have, that we can get to you, it is impossible for you to deny it. If you use just plain ordinary common sense, that's all it takes.
Absolutely.
Now, he was telling my wife how that one of my uncles had been there, one of the crafters. And how when he heard this gospel, how he just brought tears to the eyes and he sat there and cried like a baby. And then a couple of days later, one of my aunts, when one of the Church of God sat there, they all jumped on him and they made him think of what he did. And it makes me think about what had happened at that debate there in Detroit. How when Dr. Mitchell was speaking from the floor, and I was noticing the people in the audience, and those people were moved by the things that he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that it was something to it. They were just sitting there nodding their heads. I mean, they were really enjoying what they were learning. But yet, so as soon as that satanic spirit got out there on that floor, and he went in there using that trickery that they always use and making a joke out of the thing, it's a serious matter. And the other people were taken back towards the way of the things that he was saying. Now look, this teaching that we have, this teaching did not come for any man. Now we say that, but it's a hard thing to understand what we're saying. We're saying that it did not come from any natural physical man. But what you have to do, you have got to check it out for yourself. You've got to investigate the things that you say.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the depth of it, and then you'll understand that it does not come from a man. It is impossible for a man to conceive this. Well, to put this Bible together the way that it has been done down here, it is impossible.
Right.
Now look, you want to look at Numbers? It's not in Numbers. You have approximately about 7 million people in Los Angeles County. Now from the total amount of people that you have in Los Angeles County, the people that you see here at this school, in comparison with the amount of people that you have in Los Angeles County, you would say, well, no, this is what I have to do. It's not enough of 10 million people here. 50 more people down here. Now in the Roman Catholics, they boast about their numbers, or the amount of people they have. Now, if you hold a look at how they're boasting about the amount of people that they have. When I stand to reason that Roman Catholics are right and Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong, Catholics are right and the Roman Catholics are wrong. Then you have your other different sects, and each and every last one of them all claiming and stating that they have the truth. Jeremiah 23, chapter 3. Now, one thing that I did learn while on that trip was this. This gospel, I'm talking about the other simplicity of it, is what captivates me. The other simplicity of it is what captivates me. We used to get all into the deep esoteric things, but if you are getting into something deep, and you try to expound it to an unlearned individual, or someone who does not have the basic foundation of this gospel, so you can destroy that person's life. It's possible for them to understand what it is that you're talking about. Now, I know that in the school, throughout the United States, look, Yahweh put out those ministers, he qualified each minister for the area that he's in it, and the type of people that he would encounter.
Yeah.
So you don't want to place anyone credit or credibility or anything that might be said, say, in Alabama or New York. You look, don't try to compare any of those schools with the schools. They're all teaching the same thing. It's just the type of individuals that they are encountering that in the lesson on it, things that have to be brought forward to those things. Now, you get down there in Little Rock. Now, when I'm in Little Rock, when in the South, you have your Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Now, you can't go in there. You just cannot go in there and tell those people that you have to, the way that you have to bring those people over, my heart cries out to you. Really? Now, you take this word, amen. You can't even tell those people that here. You can't bring out things like that. You just have to feed them, grab them. Yeah. They begin to go to kill them immediately. Yeah. They just can't take it. Now you take a school like, say, in New York, see where you have those kids that are in the universities and everything, studying science and those various things. Look, you have to go up to the depths of it, because they don't believe in the Bible in the first place. You have to take that they know so much about, and the whip them with them. Not that the New York school is any better than this school is. There's no difference in any of it. It's the same gospel that the message you wouldn't have to get to those
depths. All right.
Check it out, okay? Let me come up with something new. That is, you come here to it, and it's laid down in the kitchen, and has been removed apple tree. My last name is Moto, my father's last name is Moto. This is the masculine part. Yah. Yah. Now look. I'm telling people for making something that I'm probably saying. Now, if Jesus Christ loves the name, what was his father's name?
Yeah.
You have to care sometimes your father's name was Brooks before you were even brought forth. See? While the mother is yet pregnant, due to the known fact that that child is carrying that father's last name. Mm-hmm. See? Now, recently, we just had a child. Well, look at the card that they gave me. It stated on there, photo, girl.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have the first name yet, but it had that last name. It came in the father's name.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it was this. Now, something that simple enough to make it to the positive of one. You say, well, now, what is that? It is something for us to take out. See, but the fact is that the problem is this. See? We don't want to change it. See?
Okay.
And it's not us that doesn't want to change it. It's just that the panic is still within us. See, but you also have that spirit of righteousness within you, because there's not God to do it. But that city is there. There's not to mention about our first spirit of God and that. About that right there, the light that light is everywhere. So that city is within you, but you just not conscious of it. So that's what you are trying to do down there to school, is make you cognizant of the fact of what it is that is within you, whether it be righteous or negative. That is predominant. We want you to know that you have both of them within you.
All right.
And the one that we're trying to bring into fruition is that righteous spirit. Mm-hmm. Now you get over that satanic spirit and that was shackled out there for so long, that's a hard thing to say, but you'll have to say it right. You also don't know there's a fruition. See? First chapter of First Corinthians, 15th chapter, about the 50th verse, I think he says, well, I'll show you a mystery. And we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Well, we're trying to bring that change about, bring it about now, see, so that you might receive eternal salvation. See, but now look, if you wait until the revelation of Yahshua dies in heaven, it's too late. And that's why it's necessary to go back here. Look. The only way you can is to adopt it to go to the church. And I can just stand up here and talk. See, but that's not going to do you any good. But now we go back into this place, to these sites, and show you the vision that our Father has. Then you can see the principle working down through the dispensation of the angels, working within you. This one. Now to start off with, Isaiah 8:20. Which says, to the law and to the testimony. It says, he's not according to this word, is because there is no light in there. Now look, when he came in the world, he identified, and he said that he was the light. See? Now they're speaking through Isaiah back there. Yahweh is speaking through Isaiah, says that if they speak not according to this word, the law and the testimony, the law being the first five books of the Bible, testimony being from Joshua to Malachi. Now if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light within them. Now he was that light, and he did that understanding. So they want to teach it to you, or attempt to teach you, see? Now, if they don't speak according to that word, it's because he is not within them.
Right.
See? Now, you go out there, now that's the conversation right here. Because I am yesterday to the that not being, they call it an exception, but it is not an exception. See that? There is so much for you to learn, and any time you say anything, in regards to what has been taught, as far as Christian is concerned, it needs an explanation.
Right.
But see, you just don't have the time. See? And you won't learn it all in no one visit down here. See? Now look, you have to go back to the law and to the testimony. Now the law was the first five books of the Bible that Moses was given credit for having written. See? Now if you go back there under the law, and you say, well now look, we're not under the law now. We're in the New Testament for a new completion. Well, I agree with you that you are what you are. Meaning this, you think that you're in the New Testament age, but what you're doing, you're holding on to things that are written or under the law.
Right.
And as Timothy was admonished, see, to rightfully divide the dispensation of things. You've got to do that. See? Now, over here, let's stop right here. Now, you notice we have here
antediluvian age, or the age before the flood, see? Now this was the age of the flood. And then Adam all died. But God, look, they were not given any physical natural law at that time. Now then after the flood, you know, when you come in over there with the flood, see where Yahweh, God Moses up the top of Mount Sinai and gives you the Ten Commandments of law. Now that's another age. So when after the Messiah comes in and fulfill all the things that were written on the law, now you in this age right over here. But you don't know what is down on this age here, because you don't know what's on this age here. You know, what they have done, what Egyptian has done, they have thrown the things on this age here over on this age here. It's not that short. Now, start off, you have to begin with Moses. And why do you begin with Moses? Because that's when Yahweh chose to reveal himself to you. He revealed his divine name and given the first and the pattern and everything of the age. Now look, you say, well, why do you begin with Moses? See, which I just explained to you. But look, this man right here, or Yahweh Messiah, Jesus Christ, as you call him, now when he was walking around, when he was instructing, this is what he told his disciples to do. He began with Moses. You pick that up over and look at the 24th chapter, starting with about the 25th verse. Now, if he began with Moses, then don't you think that we can do the same thing? We always talk about following his footsteps. Now, when he taught that, when he preached, he went back to the house. Well, follow his footsteps if you want, or if you can. Now, look. Not only that, John 5:39. You search the scriptures. Now, this is the apostle to the disciples. Now, what I'm trying to do, if you understand, is what I'm trying to do is show you how to get into this book in the correct manner. Now, I'm telling you, now he said, you search the scriptures. And right away, you don't know what the scriptures are. You think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are scriptures. Well, in actuality, it is anything that is written is scripture. But we're talking about the divine meaning of the word scripture. Now, if you're talking about the divine meaning of the word scripture, then you're talking about what is written under the law and under the prophets. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have not been written at that time. Now, read.
Now, in them you think you have eternal life.
For in them you think you have eternal life.
And they are they which testify of me.
And they are they which testify of me. Now, all that back there, from Malachi, see, that all of that was about the Messiah. Now, this is something that you guys know. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're glad to stick them out there over in Isaiah. You know, they talking about him. He said, now, he was a creator, manifest in the physical body here. See, now, it was about him. Now, look, so you have to go back and begin with Moses. Yeah. Start off with. Now, look, Moses was born down here in Egypt. Now, what I would like to show you, now we down here are teaching according to the tabernacle pattern, which is given to Moses. Now what I would like you to see is that Yahweh himself is operating according to that pattern right there. You understand? Now look, Moses was born down here in Egypt. Now look, he was brought up in Pharaoh's daughter's house. Now Moses was a smart man, and he knew the ways of the Egyptians. Now the Israelite nation, they were in bondage. And the Egyptians, those were the so-called intellectual people. You understand? Now look, one day Moses sees an Egyptian smiting one of his Hebrew brothers. And he slays that Egyptian. Now then the next day, you understand, he sees two of his brothers' armies. And he intercedes. And his brother says, what are you going to do? Are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptians? So therefore Moses knew that the word was out. So he fled for his life. Now look, you had a death before you had a departure.
Right.
Now when Moses goes out into the wilderness, or I'm in the land of Midian, see, and he meets Jethro, or Reuel's daughter, and he marries one of Jethro's daughters. Now, after marrying Jethro's daughter, he becomes a tender of the sheep, of Jethro's sheep. Now one day while he's out there on the backside of Mount Sinai, he sees this strange sight. He sees this bush that is burning but not being consumed. And he draws nigh to see what it was. See, a voice spoke to him from him and told him, draw not nigh. And called Eli, called him by his name, told him to take off his shoes. for the place of the Galilee because we own the ground. Now look, all of these things here, there's an answer for it.
Yes.
See, you can see something, not understanding, but there's a reason why else you can call Holy Ground. The reason why I come to take off the shoes. Now look, then he told Moses, here he was. He told him in ayah after ayah, which interpreted means, I will be what I will be. Not in the state of the King James Version of the Bible, where it states that I am that I am. If you are what you are, and if I am what I am, if I am this logic, that's all that I can be. Nothing else but it. So therefore, you are living in the power of the Creator. But he said, I will be what I will be. See? And then, well, I'll give you nothing up. Now, then he told Moses to stick his hand in his bosom. Moses stuck his hand in his bosom, running up, leper. I will be what I will be. You understand? I will be diseases. But whatever I choose to be, that's what he did. See? Now, then he had to stick it back in and brought it back out and it was cured. Then he had another sign for him. He told him to cast that rod on the ground. He asked him, what it was that he had in his hand. He told him that it was a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. Cast it on the ground, turn it to a circle. I will be what I will be. Then he told him to pick that rod back up by the tail. Turn that back into a rod. I will be what I will be. Then he gave him another demonstration. He told him when he went back down in Egypt, that he would take some water in the river Nile, pour it on the ground. If they didn't believe him, that the water would turn into blood. I will be what I will be. All right, now Moses made excuses. He did not want to go down there. Now he knew that he was playing that zigzag.
Yeah.
But you also have to think for a man such as this, and not wanting to go. None of the prophets. One of them. None of them wanted to go. It's not like it is now.
Yeah.
See every corner,
yeah.
You know, two or three in a block. See, and every last one of them been sick. And he has to go. But look, now after Moses, then he tells Moses complained about his intent and his speech, and he knew within himself how he explained that Egyptian down there. And so Yahweh told him, now look, the one that stopped your life, the man, he's not there anymore. Why did Yahweh take his head? That he moved him out of the way. It's another Pharaoh down there.
Yeah.
So he said, now look, now your brother Aaron is coming out to meet you. See? Then he'll be the spokesman. Well, now look, how do you know that Aaron? Moses was out here for 40 years.
Yeah.
So how do you know that his brother Aaron was in the nephew? And who was that talking to Moses in that book? Well, look, that same one that was telling you, Aaron was coming there to meet us, was down there in it, coming Aaron out in the first place.
Right.
And what you had here was a vengeance, or in other words, astral projection, or Yahweh's Lord had projected himself out of it.
Yeah.
And was speaking to Moses from that place.
Right.
See? Now look, so therefore you got Moses, which typifies the law, coming down, and you got Aaron typifying the prophecy. Now you got the law and the prophecy coming down to deliver the Egyptians, to deliver the Israelite children out of Egypt. And that's what we do right now, as we said before, to the law and to the testimony. We say thank you, because God has delivered you out of Egypt. You say, I'm not an Egyptian. What is Egypt? The word itself is black.
Right.
It was the power of Israel. And that's what is taking place within the world of faith. They are Egypt, they were God to their creator. See? Now nobody has yet to see. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. I'll put it like this. Now this is the most difficult part of this speech, is to come down here into Egypt and to deliver somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what we have to do.
Right.
You're not out here. This is where you are. This is where you have to go to Egypt.
Right.
You understand? Now look, after they go back down there into Egypt, then Moses meets up with Joshua. Now I just told you that there's no J in the Hebrew language, or modern Hebrew. There's no J in the Hebrew language. Never has been even to this day. There was no J in the English language prior to the 17th century. So now, since there's no J in the Hebrew language, that one whom you call Joshua down there, that is not his name. His name was Joshua.
Yeah.
And you can read over the numbers, Moses called him Othniel. The son of God. Well, now look, after they go down there, they talk to Joshua. And Joshua silence Joshua, instructs Moses to go to Pharaoh. And he's telling Moses what to do. And so when Moses goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, now prior to sitting down, he told him he's going to hide the Pharaoh's heart. It wasn't going to be no simple or easy matter to deliver him out of here. He was going to hide the Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh would not handle him.
Yeah.
And it's no easy matter to deliver you out of here.
That's a hard thing.
Why? Because your heart's hard. Hey, look, now as he's going back down there, see, then he instructed Moses. He told Moses, he said, look, this shall be the beginning of Muscle, which is the month of Abel, which shortly the forefather is our month of Abel. Now that was the beginning of time. Now that's Yahweh instructed Moses at the when time began. See, which took Israelite nation down there. Now look, it is important that you know that. If you knew that, then you would have December 26th to be in his birthday. Because they have no idea. Not going by the civil law to finding out when it's time to dance, even if it's impossible for them to come up with a true date of the Messiah. We can do it down here. Now look, he's going to take out a land. Now the ninth plague was the plague of three black stars. Now look, they were instructed to take a lamb out on the 10th, hold it over to the 14th. Now they had to say that lamb close to God, which meant the amount of bone of its body could be broken. Now then they had to, do this in their own house, and it was at night. Now look, after that, they were to eat that lamb. All of it had to be consumed. Then it was a 3-day journey to the Red Sea. And they went on through the Red Sea on dry ground. Through the Red Sea, with the tunnel up and the tunnel life up here, and they went through on dry ground. Now look, what I'm trying to show you is this. They had to have that lamb within them before they went all over and through the Holy Spirit. Or out here through the wilderness of Sinai. Now all those who did not have the blood on the middle of the door and on the two side posts of the door, then the firstborn of both man and beast was slain. Now look, the Israelite nation, now that ninth plague was made of prison black darkness. Now Pharaoh, they couldn't see what was going on. Pharaoh and his home, they couldn't see what was going on. Just like you can't see what was going on with their this day. You understand? But, look, so therefore Pharaoh couldn't see him putting that blood on the door, and he couldn't see him eating that man. You understand? Now then when the death angel passes over, see, Pharaoh not having the blood on his door, then his firstborn is slain. Now this is when Pharaoh relaxes and lets him go. Then he pursues happening, and Pharaoh and his troops, they are drowned in the Red Sea. Then they come on out here to the wilderness of Sinai, see, and Yahweh called Moses up in the mountain. And he gave the Israelite nation 3 days to clean up, and then he wanted to talk, that he would talk with them. Then after, now look, all of them could not go up there in that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
See, all of them could not go up there. Then Yahweh called Moses, Aaron, they got to buy the 70 elders up, and there they saw the God or the Elohim of Israel. Now here's another reason for having two names in your Bible. See, now in King James, when he says there they saw the God of Israel. Then you got Aaron, they got to buy the 70 elders, and Moses seeing the God of Israel. Then over in John, or Saint John, so-called Saint John, he states no man has seen the God at any time. But if you put the two names back, then you would not have that contradiction. Now remember now, before you came out of Egypt, you had blood, you had... After Yahweh told Moses to come up, and he spoke to the children of Israel. Now look, Moses said all that Yahweh said, they said that they would do. Now at the same time that Yahweh was speaking, Moses was writing it in a book. And that's the first book that Moses wrote, not Genesis 1:1. Now, then he dedicated the people and the book with the blood, see, at the same time. Then Moses goes on up, and Yahweh calls Moses alone and by himself. Now, up in the 24th chapter, that he calls Moses alone and by himself up there in that mountain. Alone and by himself, with nobody else up there with him. You understand? Now, then you have a strange phenomenon taking place. You have Joshua, who is Moses' minister, getting up, going up there with him. Well, what do you have? This is what we've been trying to tell you, that Joshua, or that Joshua down there, That was Yahweh's Lord in a physical body there.
Right.
And that was him that was telling Moses to come up there in the mouth. So naturally, if I invite you over here, I would be a fool to invite you over to my house and you not here. If I tell you to come over to my house, and I'm going on with you. So that's not, it's no longer a strange phenomenon when you know. But the only way we know is that we have Yahweh Lord manifest in the body explaining me, he's never there to be fulfilled.
Right.
Just like himself.
That's right.
Now look, then he shows Moses. He starts to take it on this super incorporeal or incorporeal shape and form. He takes on this. Look, Yahweh is spirit. Then he takes on this shape and form. Now in the world, you ask them, say, well, now what is God? They say spirit, and what is spirit God? You know, just take it back and forth, back and forth. But there's more to it than this, see? This spirit, for Yahweh is composed of nine nations, the attributes. Wisdom, intelligence, knowledge, love, beauty, justice, salvation, power, and strength. Not to say that he has it, he is intelligent. He is wisdom. Well now look, this takes on a shape and a form. Now that is a crucifixion within itself. Just like if you have a thought that you wish to expound an individual to. Now while it is up here, it is in a pure state. But the minute that you try to expound that thought, you cannot present it the way that you receive it up here. You understand? So you have a crucifixion taking place within you. Showing the picture of the crucifixion right here. Now John wrote about it over in the book of Revelation. He said that that was a lamb that was crucified from the foundation of the earth. You understand? Now this right here is the beginning of Yahweh's creation. You understand? Then after this is created, Yahweh took it back to Yahweh and not do anything else. This form right here, all things were created by him and for him, as you read over in Colossians. Now look, looking at this shape and this form right here, if you saw a ghost, you could not understand it. You understand? Moses looking at this shape and this form right here, he could not understand it. So this shape and this form here had to take on or transmute and choose this threefold intangible tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Now then Moses can look at that tabernacle and see if he can understand that, but he cannot understand this. This is the breakdown of this. This is the archetype or the original pattern of the universe. Now this right here is just a breakdown of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has happened in this shape. Mm-hmm. In this shape, in this one right here, we cannot understand this. So what he did, he just transfigured into a tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking around with us this day. See, that's the only way we can understand him now. But look at him in this shape and this form, he could not do it. You understand? Now then, Moses sees the creation drawn out of this. And everything comes in according to this threefold tabernacle, intangible tabernacle of God. Now here's where the world is wrong. They don't know the first thing at all about this thing. They don't know anything at all about this. You understand what I'm saying? Now look. First off, they don't know anything about this. Not knowing anything about this, nor the purpose of the plan, then they're wrong in what they're teaching you. These kind of words. Now what they say that Jesus Christ came to get you and set up the way of life for us. What they are doing is they are inwardly calling him a liar. Now you tell them to call him a liar, they say, oh, nothing to do with that. But that's what they're doing. Reason being this, Matthew, this is really important. I want to get in Matthew 5, 7, 7, and 7, and 24, 4.
They come to Joshua, the Galilee, the Jordan, of God, to be immersed with him. Now the lady is saying, I have need to be immersed with you.
And
come to bow to me. Joshua answered and said unto them, permit to be so now, but thus it becometh us to fulfill all right.
Now there he is speaking to one man, John, and he's telling him that thus it becometh us to fulfill all right. Now this is in regard to the baptism of that one man. Now over in Matthew the fifth chapter, son of the first verse.
And seeing the multitude.
Now seeing the multitude,
he went up into a mountain.
He went up into a mountain. Now why? Now look. If you look back here, when they came out of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. Now there was a multitude of people with 603,550 following that cloud, right? Now John 5:39, he says he took the bread and he said that he's going to like, they are going to sacrifice me. That's all about him back there. You understand? Now that cloud went and sat on top of Mount Sinai. And there they received proceed to take the matter of law, the order. You understand? Now, Daniel Moses, what happened?
He went up into a mountain.
He went up into a mountain.
Read. And when he was set,
then
the disciples came up to him.
Then the disciples came up to him. Now look, you get down into the 17th verse.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets.
See, right back now, he's going right back to the same thing. He's talking about the law and the prophets. Read.
I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
What do you fulfill? That's what you instituted back there under the law. Read.
For verily I say unto you.
Till
heaven and earth pass.
Till heaven and earth pass. So why did he make the heaven and earth pass?
See?
Look, can't you see that when Moses got up here to this mount, and he's up here to this cloud, and he sees the heaven and earth pass before. He sees how it's up here. Now this is in the year 1490. Be wise before the birth of God to decide who the Lord and the virgin there. See? And he's seeing all this past before him. See? So up here to fulfill it, he's got to mention the same thing. Read.
The very after after you, the heaven and earth pass, one jot or the smallest part of the letter, that no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Now look, he says, since nothing pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You understand? Now him being nailed to the cross, that's part of that fulfillment. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, that being the case, where do you get your physical water baptism at? Where do you get your institution to the Lord's supper? All those were dead under the law before he was held to the cross. So you can't say that he was equal Passover and dead instance of the Lord's supper. It's because he had not been held to the cross yet. It hadn't all been fulfilled. So he couldn't be instituted anything. Then on the Luke 24th chapter, the 44th verse,
and he said unto them, these are the words that God.
Now this is after the death, burial, and resurrection. Now he has a quickening spirit, not a physical body. See? Now look, if he had been telling a lie when he was talking to God, if he had been telling a lie when he was talking to us, with the disciples, see? Then he would have straightened it up now in this super incorporeal shape of formation then done. Mm-hmm. You understand? And what did he say? It's the same thing.
These are the words that God said unto you while I was yet with you.
All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning himself. Now look, what I would like to do right now is show you. Now that's him speaking, saying that he came in to fulfill, not empty. Now the world can be seen empty. They can't be fulfilling anything because they do not understand this fact here. That's why they don't have a pattern to go by. Now that they don't have Yahweh Lord. All right, look. Now this tabernacle pattern that I was mentioning that Moses saw is here. Now I was asserting that Moses is operating on this going according to the pattern of all the pattern has not been presented yet. Now this is what he sees in 1490 BY. You understand? Now if you look at the tabernacle pattern, you got the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. Now you have a 3-in-1 configuration. The most holy place, the holy place, and the outer court. Why? What does that prove? Now we're in 1 John, I think it's the 5th chapter, the 7th verse. Someone get it, read it, please.
There are three that bear record.
Now there are three that bear record in heaven.
The Father,
the Word,
and the Holy Spirit.
See? Just that simple. You got a pattern to go by. Now here is the pattern. Now this tabernacle pattern is composed of three compartments. The outer court, holy place, most holy place. Now in the outer court, you have three major vessels. The holy place, you got three major vessels. Your most holy place, you got a 3-in-1 configuration.
Mm-hmm.
This typifies heaven. Mm-hmm. Now look, within your body, you have, now Paul picked it up. Paul says, what know ye not that your body is the temple or the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? Now look, your body is the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Now that being the case, then your body has to fit it. You understand? So what do you have? You got a whole holy place, holy place, and outer court. You got a head cap, a chest cap, and a bottom cap. Now look, you got three major vessels here, three major vessels here, three major vessels here. Nine major vessels. You got nine systems within your physical body. Now in your outer court, you may have the altar for your sin sacrifice. Now look, whenever the priest brought that sacrifice, he had to sprinkle the blood on the four corners of that altar. Then that sacrifice was laid on that tree, and it was burned up. See? Then you got your brazen laver where the sacrifice is washed in. Now if the sacrifice is washed in, then after that water will have to turn red. priest was watching them, see? Then he had the holy anointed oil that the priest had to be anointed with, which typified spirit, or quickly before he could officially in that tabernacle. Now, these are the three major things of being out of court. Now, if you look at the physical body, see, now you have the intestinal tract right there. Same type of configuration, see? You have the eighth inch out there, the deep inch, and the big one cold. Now you got four major points there, so you got the four major arteries coming together in four different places, giving you 4 points of blood right there. Now right up above the tree, then often you got the small intestinal tract inside of there, which gives you that straight like a fair. And this is where your food is burned up or consumed that, just like that sacrifice is consumed there. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, Yahweh is going by a pattern, even with your physical body. Now look, right above that, now look on this place, maybe you have a foot or a tunnel. Then right here on your kidney, see, you have your bladder. Then you have your kidney. Now look, we know that the kidney is not it's not an exact round configuration like that, and we know that the kidney got to be vital, but that's for a reason too. Now, you say, well, you got to have the same principle here. Well, you put that sacrifice in that water, and that water is divided too. Now look here, with your kidney, now your kidneys are used to purify your blood, so you can see the grass there. Then right above your kidney, see, you have your adrenaline gland, which quickens you, and then but anyway, what correlates with that? Now, certainly the Yahweh is formed by a pattern. Now, look. Remember, I told you had to be a dress down here before there was a departure. Now, if you look down here in Egypt, before they departed out, they had a dress, right? Look, before they, before they could go out, see, they had to put that blood on the floor. Well, remember, they're doing the two signposts in the base that they dip it from, showing you the 4 points of blood there, just like you have 4 points of blood here, just like you got 4 points of blood here. Now look, then Noah, now then we can take the Bible and put it together according to this tabernacle pattern with Yahweh chose to Moses first. Now look, if you pick up Noah, you'll find out that Noah was instructed to build an ark. Now how was the ark had to be built? You don't do a research. See, according to the pattern, see, you got the upper deck, middle deck, and the north deck. Three in one configuration, see? Now look, then Moses, Noah was instructed to preach the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Now look, if you preach the gospel to people denying you, then the blood will be on their head. Here. Now if you preach, if you didn't preach, then the blood will be on his head. Well, look, but Noah was obedient. He preached the gospel to the four corners of the earth. So therefore, the blood was on their head. So four points of blood there. Then you have your Passover feast down here in Egypt. See, that's another thing. I did not bring that out there. Now that was the Passover feast that was instituted down there in Egypt. It was not the Lord's Supper, as you have it mentioned over there in Egypt. The new so-called reception. See, the after the Messiah coming in. Now, he is that sacrifice that is claimed before the foundation of the earth. So, therefore, you got to have your 4 points of blood there. You got his nail in his right hand, nail in his left, crown of thorns around his head, nail in his feet, will give you 4 points of blood there. See? Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, I see the 5th point of blood. Is he here purified in his side? Yes. The off of that lamb that was sacrificed, down in Egypt, see, it has to be purified in his side also. See, then he said, now, he's written the scripture for him, and you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, right? When I look at you, go all the way back to Adam, that's still talking about him. Not Adam. Not Adam was placed in a deep sleep, which is synonymous with death. You understand? See, Yahweh's Lord reached forth to his side. You can see a piercing in his side, brought forth Eve or the bride. You understand? So he still fulfilling all that was written in the law and the testimony concerning himself. Now look, then after you're going up here to your holy place, you got right here your 7 brass golden candlesticks, you got the table for your 2 brass, you got the altar for your incense. 3 major vessels. Now they got more than just 3 vessels, they got 3 major vessels. Now over here, in your holy place, or your step cap, you see, now this, you got the 7 brass oil, you got your heart with the coronary ring around it, and your 2 brass. Right, the 4 valves, like the 4 corner tables of the 2 bed here, and they got the 4 valves in your heart. Then you have your lungs here, which correlates with your office for running up your entrance. Now look, this 7 valves over here.